views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio here at our brand new time, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the first Wednesday of every month. I keep saying it, but I can't believe we are almost at 100 shows here on Lucid Planet Radio. And of course, if you want to listen to past archive shows, you can just go to thelucidplanet.com. It's also free to download on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, etc. Just search for Lucid Planet Radio. Also, everyone, stay tuned for my brand new sex and relationship book series and show, Slut Logic, which is all about empowering people to love their sexuality and reclaim the words that have been used to oppress and shame people of all genders for their sexuality. So that's debuting really soon, and it's going to be super lit. I have a new Instagram, Dr. Slut Logic, if you want to check that one out. And you can also find me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. So on that note, first of all, I just want to say to everyone, wow, welcome to 2018. We made it. And what a year 2017 was. Oh my goddess. It was a rough one for many of us. There were battles that were hard fought. There were battles that were won, battles that were lost. But one of the most outstanding aspects of 2017, for me at least, was the fact that we can really no longer turn our backs away or deny the fact that we are entering this incredibly sexually charged time in history. Maybe for the first time, maybe ever, at least in our modern era, you know, women's claims over the autonomy and sovereignty of their bodies have become not only important, but they've really taken hold of the national stage, at least in the U.S. and I think abroad places as well. You know, Time Magazine's Person of the Year was the Me Too movement, hashtag, which is just a grassroots effort by women across the world and many different industries to just light up the nature of the harassment, assault, and abuse of women that happens in so many professional areas. It really gave people a voice. So I'm thrilled to talk about this, and it is my honor to welcome Dr. Saida Desilet, whose goal is to live in a world with audacious, sexually sovereign women living on their own terms. And I got to say, like, amen, sister, I heard that. And so today we're going to talk about sexual sovereignty and what it is and what it means. And, you know, Dr. Desilet, she's published several books, The Emergence of the Sensual Woman, The Illustrious Jade Egg. I love these titles. And she has also had her methods featured by Dr. Christiane Northrup and Dr. Rachel Abrams. And she has done over two decades of dedicated embodied professional practice. And she has really become a visionary spokesperson for the sexual sovereignty movement. So I can't wait to hear so much more about this. Let's please welcome Dr. Desilet to the show. Welcome.
Woohoo. It's so awesome to be here, Dr. Kelly. And this topic is very, very hot. So I'm happy that we're starting off the year with it, because I really believe it's going to continue to be a very important subject as the year unfolds.
Absolutely. And it doesn't really show any signs of going away at all. Mm-hmm. It seems that people are actually, both men and women, finding this voice for sexual sovereignty. And I think maybe before I have a lot of questions to ask you, but can you define for us what the term sexual sovereignty means?
Absolutely. So sovereignty implies that it's you're autonomous. You have your own authority over your life, your body, yourself. I added the word sexual because it's very important for me to distinguish that that sovereignty is inclusive of our sexuality and not just the physical body, but our sexuality as a person. That means, for example, with women, that no person, no government, no institution, no one has the right to tell her what to do with her fertility, what kind of pleasure she should have, when she should have it, how she should have it, with whom she should have it. That is her choice and her choice alone.
Oh my gosh, I could not agree with you more, 100%. And it's kind of, you know, it's weird looking back to think like, I can't believe we don't have this right as women, that this isn't something that is just naturally like a part of our lives. But it's not. It really is not. And you look across the world, so many women's sexual sovereignty is not being respected. And I'm curious if you have any thoughts on why this is starting to change now.
Great question. And I just want to make a quick comment because sexual sovereignty is for everyone, including children. So I just want to sure that the listeners
Very
know that if
point.
Whatever gender you identify with, you are born innately sexually sovereign. It is not currently recognized as a human birthright. Myself and a team of people are doing our best to see that change. Hopefully these discussions, I really think it's the people who are going to create that change by self-claiming for themselves. So I think what's happening in the world, why this is so important and why I think we're seeing a rise of it is it's almost like when there's so much, excuse my language, but that hits the fan that at some point you're like, enough is enough. And I really feel that that is true across the board for many other topics, but especially around women's rights, women's bodies, and sexuality. This is, I think, around the globe, we are seeing people stand, men and women stand for saying, we've had enough. This is enough. What else is there? But not knowing what else there is, because all we know is what we know. And so it's a great time to open the conversation for new possibility.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to do the same thing with my new project, Slut Logic, which is kind of that same idea that you shouldn't have to describe and define, you know, why you want to have sex or how you want to do it. You should just be able to make that choice without being judged or shamed for it by the outside. And I know everybody judges and shames. And when it comes to sexuality in particular, it's kind of almost a given that almost every, I was a sexuality professor for 8 years in California, and almost every student I had some kind of like horrible sexual trauma, shame, dysfunction, or on a less severe scale, hang-ups about their body, hang-ups that there's something wrong with them. Am I normal? And this seems to be an incredibly pervasive phenomenon. And I'm curious if you have some thoughts on why so many people have these sexual hang-ups and problems.
Yeah, I love this question. And I just want to celebrate you because I love the Slut Logic. Like when you introduced that in the intro, I was like, woohoo, that's so awesome. And the fact that you've been a professor in sexuality is fantastic because you know the conversations that happen and don't happen. So social conditioning to me is at the crux of why we're seeing what we're seeing. We are born erotically innocent. We are born completely intact with a relationship with our body and our sensuality that's whole and unconditioned. What I mean by that is our sensuality is literally how we as human beings learn to make sense of reality. And yet we are born into a world that very, very quickly will tell us what is right and what is wrong about our bodies, about our just even sensuality. So we can touch this part, we can't touch that part. This is meant to feel good. You should never let yourself feel that good, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a very strong social conditioning from a young age, and then it's continued and propagated. I think one of the main issues that I speak up against a lot is that somehow our modern idea around sexuality is that sexuality is a currency, that we actually use it to bargain for things instead of understanding that sexuality is innately part of being a human being. If I dare say, we are all sexual beings and we don't all need to partake in the act of sex, but I've fail to meet any human yet who's able to separate their genitals from their body, leave them by the bedside table, mm-hmm. and then go out and do their life. Like, you know, this is my part of my life I'm not going to engage with. So when we're out in the world, even, you know, asking for the bank loan or whatever we're doing, our genitals are with us. Our sexuality is with us. It may not, you know, engage in the moment, but it's there. It's part of who we are. So I find that the social, yeah, and that social conditioning, it's so harmful because it creates disassociation. What I mean by that is we disconnect from something that's so powerfully human. And when we do that, it's natural that neurosis comes in.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting you say that because and this is something we'll talk about throughout the show, I think, is reversing the years of damage, right? Mm. And not only because of social conditioning, which is creating this kind of like undercurrent of this unconscious attitude about sexuality, but then the actual traumatic experiences that so many people go through and how that just kind of like heaps on these feelings of shame and guilt and unworthiness that were already there from our society, and now it's being reinforced.
Mm. Let's talk about that because it's really important to lean in where we're uncomfortable. Yes. And I want to honor you, Dr. Kelly, because so few people are willing to have this discussion.
Hmm. Really?
What I'm trying to say is without blame, shame, or labels. Mm. So to have a discussion, so this is the first thing. To heal trauma, we must first kind of strip away the labels that are put upon a person, even the label of victim. It's really, really important to the psyche to understand, yes, I've been victimized, but not adopting the stance that I am victim, and now the rest of my days will be determined by this moment in time.
Yes.
It's a really crucial shift. And I know it's hard to hear that, but I want to lean into this because it's been true for me. I had a near-death experience with sexual trauma where I had to choose my life. I had to choose, do I die? Do I live? I've basically been told I'm going to die. It's very important. And maybe the trauma that someone who's listening hasn't been death threatening, but it's still threatening your existence. It's still threatening. Are you able to identify and move forward with creativity, with power, or are you locked into that moment in time? And this, I know we need to take a break in a moment, so we'll continue after your break, but it's a very important question, and I love that you asked it.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to talk more and hear more about your story and your inspiration for your work, and of course, more about sexual sovereignty and honoring our sexuality. So stay with us. Dr. Desilet and I will be right back.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Best-selling author, spiritual life, and business coach Joe Nunziata brings his higher energy and no-nonsense style to people who are ready to make powerful changes now. Wake up, step up, power up with a shot of Joe. Join Joe the second and fourth Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern for 30 minutes of high energy, no-nonsense, and powerful tools to make powerful changes. Visit joenunz.com. That's joenunz.com.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio.
Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
Integrate spirituality into your everyday lives on Universe Soul Heart Radio. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Kathleen Johnson explores the concept of sensible spirituality, keeping you grounded, connected, and centered on the path to wholeness. Kathleen has dedicated her life to facilitating holistic healing and wholeness in others. Listen to Universe Soul Heart Radio and learn how to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. For more information, go to universesoulheart.net.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is Dr. Saida Desilet, who is talking with us about sexual sovereignty and so much more. But before we continue, I just want to make sure, Dr. Desilet, that everybody knows how to contact you to find out more about your books, your online courses, and the workshops that you do.
Fantastic. It's very easy. Dare Your Desire, just as it sounds, .com. DareYourDesire.com is a great place to check out.
Perfect. Yeah, there's all kinds of awesome resources on there and just great information on sexual sovereignty and healing. And, you know, when we left off, we were talking about coping with sexual trauma and how we kind of move on to redefine ourselves, not based on the trauma, and not as victims of the trauma, and we continue to live our lives. And of course, Dr. Desilet has had some really intense experiences herself and her life, right? And so I really want to hear more about your story from kind of going from being a victim to thriving, and what kind of were some of the elements of your transition that really shaped that journey.
Wow. Yeah, it's an important journey. And I never used to share it because I didn't want to create connection with others through people seeing me as a survivor of rape, for example. And so I would never share this story. But as I got deeper into this work, I realized I have to share it because it's common ground, because this is happening to so many of us. So what happened is I was in the Caribbean. I knew the man. He was a lover. And then one night he just got violent and I was raped anally by surprise. And it was just a horrible moment in my life because I had never been disrespected ever. I'd always had a healthy relationship with sex and pleasure. So it was just one of those intense moments. Fast forward a few weeks later, I'm in the hospital, don't know what's going on, waking up from surgery, and the doctor's announcing that I literally have 2 weeks at the most to live.
Oh my gosh.
So the first moment there, what was important there? Because what had happened with this man, I kind of went into a state of gray. I wasn't that conscious. I just knew I had to get myself home, and I was feeling weird, but I wasn't awake. But that moment when I was told you have 2 weeks to live, I woke up. Mm-hmm. I woke up and went, what are you talking about? Young people don't die. I was 20 years old at the time.
Oh my gosh.
So, so I had a choice. We always have a choice. Even though I was basically told my life was over, that's not how I took that choice. So the reclamation of my own power in that moment was very important. Instead of making the doctor all powerful with her verdict as that is what's going to happen to me, I took that back and went, you know what? I choose to live. I don't know how, but that's what I'm choosing. And every action I took from that choice obviously led to where I am today. But the immediate healing got me to leave the hospital and seek some other help. And I went on this very deep journey of listening to my body, listening to my heart. And I had no idea what I was doing. There was no guidebook. There was nothing. People that felt awkward to talk to me about it. You know, you can't really bring up, hey, this happened, I'm going to die. You know, what do you think? It's not a conversation that's that casual. A lot of people are uncomfortable with death. So I had to really be there for myself. Now, people have asked me, would you have healed a lot faster if your abuser had been persecuted, because he was not? Mm. And I find that a difficult question to answer, because I didn't put the necessity of my healing on that person, if that makes sense. So
yes,
whether or not he was persecuted had no power over how much healing I was going to do on my end. So that's how I answer that question. And I think it's really important for us that a sovereign being, which we all are, we are innately powerful. And that means that we're intelligent enough, we're capable enough to make good choices that can move us forward with creativity and even beauty in our lives.
And I mean, I think that's amazing. And, you know, I'm so inspired by you and the way that you have taken that disempowering thing and turned it into something that's actually incredibly empowering and even like a life force, you know. And it's, I guess, my question for people out there who have either recently experienced some form of sexual trauma or abuse, or even all of the women and men, but there's been a lot of women posting about Me Too, right? And saying this has happened to me. Do you have any advice for them, or a method, or a kind of like a course of action for them, of how to begin to heal from that? Because I also want to say briefly that a lot of people who either this has happened to them and they've either repressed it or they've moved on, but they haven't really dealt with it, are being very triggered from seeing all of the Me Too posts too.
Yes.
So it's kind of like stirring it up.
Yeah. So what we don't claim holds power always. So the first thing to do is to be honest and just to say, this happened. That's why the Me Too movement is powerful, because it is giving voice. It's the space to speak. It's the space to actually feel your anger, feel your rage, feel your sadness, feel all the feelings. And for those observing that, feel your own feelings in response to that without having to make that person right, wrong, or label them anything, or shut them down, or exalt them, or make yourself the bad person. It's an opportunity for us all to deeply feel and deeply listen, first of all, to ourselves and one another. The second part that's very important is how we define ourselves creates our reality. So in this moment, when we are coming forward with our story, we are not the story, but the story shapes us. And if we don't tell the story will write its own ending. If we want to have a different kind of ending to our lives, we want to change that, then we must tell the story so that the ending can be changed. And part of that telling of the story is to understand, how are we defining ourselves? How are we defining ourselves in relationship to what happened? And how are we defining ourselves in relationship to sexuality? These are going to be very crucial definitions, because they have so much impact and influence. And I cannot do that for anyone. This is a journey of self-definition, and it is so powerful. So I really want to encourage everyone, like, to understand the power of definition, and that you get to do that for yourself. And you can take your time. If you have no idea, that's okay. Then sit with, I define myself as having no idea right now. and then just keep asking, and what else is there? Because here's the thing with the Me Too movement that I'm curious about, and I'm sure you are too, Dr. Kelly, because you sound like a really empowered woman, is what else is there?
Yeah, it's a good question.
What is the world that we want to live in? And we are the ones creating that right now by how we're defining ourselves and one another.
What do you think about the I did it hashtag in response to Me Too. Ooh. Have you seen some of that? Because I thought that was really interesting. That was almost as interesting, if not more. And I saw it from women, too, saying I like would inappropriately touch girls, not realizing that it was bad because people always did it to me. And I now realize the harm that I've caused. What do you think about the way that that has kind of shifted?
I love it. Because here's the thing, if everyone can be accountable for their truth, for what actually happened, I think we've all done something to disrespect someone at some point.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's
avoidable.
I've
probably done a lot of disrespectful things in my life. Sorry, right. Out there. Sorry.
And being a French Canadian, I'm uber touchy-feely. I just am. Mm-hmm. So how many times have I reached out and stroked someone's belly or their arm or even their leg in the enthusiasm of the conversation, not realizing that I've crossed a boundary? Mm-hmm. And I had to learn very quickly, especially in the past. Oh my God, I just, you know, went over the line without knowing it, but it's a social discomfort. And then being able to, in the moment, apologize and, you know, understand there's cultural differences around boundaries. So I think, amazing. Let's all just really hold ourselves accountable. What I'm looking for in this movement is, can we do this? Can we really own what's gone on without using shame or blame, so that each person has the opportunity to really claim what's true for them, and then we create something new from there?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, with perpetrators who've hurt a lot of people, like I'm talking like, you know, violence or like,
Harvey,
like in ways that, like that the law has to get involved. Mm-hmm. It would be great that they would have an opportunity to claim that they did it just for their own psyche. But I don't see that having them walking through society without some sort of accountability that's much more, say, even getting them away from children if they abuse children, that kind of thing. That's really important. So I think boundaries is what
boundaries
we're looking at.
Huge.
With yes, this is the movement of boundaries, the lack thereof and the need of boundaries.
And I think that's why it's taken off so explosively, really, is because there is that absolute necessity of boundaries. And I know we're going to take a break, but I just wanted to say, I talk to my female friends about this all the time, and some of them are sex workers or they work in the strip club, and they would literally say, like, this is the way the world is. I expect to be groped inappropriately every day of my life. And I'm like, yeah, I agree that that's the way the world is, but that's not the world that I want to live in. And that's the point, is like, if we just accept that this is how it is, it'll never change. So the fact that we're like, no, no more of this, we want boundaries. It's really easy to claim your boundaries once you speak up. And I think that's what you've been saying.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, you guys, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, Dr. Desilet and I are going to talk more about how to reclaim your sexual sovereignty and kind of understanding the worldwide scale of the different cultural ramifications for this. So stick with us. We'll be right back after the break.
Don't you wish you had more joy in your life? Check out the new book by Robert Max Schoenfeld, For the Love of Joy, a 30-day adventure for creating joy in your life, because you deserve more joy, more love, more health, more abundance, and more life. Available now on Amazon. Get your copy today. Visit theartofpowerfulliving.com. That's theartofpowerfulliving.com.
Are you searching? Looking for a sign? A message you need to hear? From the great unknown? From the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are? The universe put someone here to talk to. Someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I am here with Dr. Saida Desilet, who is sharing with me her methods, her story, and her vision for helping people to reclaim their sexual sovereignty. And what a mission it is, Dr. Desilet. Has it been hard for you to get this out there and to like formulate this vision? Have you been met with a lot of resistance about it, or has it been mostly supportive?
Ah, love this question. Thank you for asking. You know, it's interesting because this topic has been dear to my heart for a couple decades, and there has never been a time like now to speak about it. It's not been, there's been no stage, let's say, for it, but now is the time. So I'm meeting way less resistance now, a lot more curiosity and hunger. And I think the hunger is because there is a paradigm shift that is happening yes. globally, but we don't have all the language yet for this, like what's new. So people are looking for new language, a new orientation. And I think that's why this conversation is a lot more acceptable and a lot more, there's a lot more curiosity around it at this time.
Absolutely. I wanted to mention how, depending on where you are in the world as a woman, or a trans or, you know, other gender person, your rights are quite limited compared to men. Can we agree on that, depending on where you are in the world?
Yeah, and, of course.
Yeah. And so how does this sexual sovereignty, is this something that can apply to any and all cultures? And if so, what are the biggest challenges that women in those cultures might be facing?
Fantastic. I think that because this is a humanitarian issue, it goes past borders, past cultures. This is a human rights issue, just as it is the right to have clean water, for example. Yes. So we are looking at the right to your own body. Yes. This is very important. This cannot be overridden anymore. And although culturally in many places, that right, even in the United States, is not recognized. Does it mean that we continue to live like that? Or does it mean that we now start taking a stand for what we really want? And I believe that we are in a place now where we want to take a stand for that. And I think that as a Western person, where we have more freedom to take a stand, where our life is not on the line if we do, mm-hmm. that not only is it important that we do take that stand for ourselves, but on behalf of the many who are not in a position where they could ever take that stand without putting their life in danger. Mm-hmm. So that's a very important piece of globally creating a change that is true for everyone, is to start with the people who can do it and to hold it in our own lexicon of words, let's say, that this is true for all people, all ages. And if we treat one another that way, then we're setting a mandate of respect and behavior that then can probably eventually influence international law and international rights. But at this point, it's really up to the individual to do it.
You know, one thing I think about a lot when we talk about sexual sovereignty, and you mentioned children, and of course, that's such a touchy subject, right? Freud was like one of the first psychologists to say sexuality begins at birth. And of course, maybe his vision of it was a little skewy, but you know, it's just that putting that idea out there, people are very resistant to it. But this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, and I just would love to run it by you, which is the circumcision of infant males in the United States, for example, clearly must be experienced as some kind of a very deeply rooted subconscious violation, whether or not people who have been circumcised all feel this way or even all experience it. The idea of like holding down an infant and cutting off one of the most sensitive pieces of their genitals when they're a baby seems like a direct violation of sexual sovereignty.
I would have to say that it is, and here's why. Because the child cannot give, obviously, like their approval, their consent, and so it's not any non-consensual activity is a violation of that right, if you think about it. So as a parent or a guardian, even changing a diaper, we would want to have utmost respect of handling that baby's body. This is a sovereign being. And for the majority, I think that does happen when we have people who are not well psychologically. Obviously, things get out of hand at that point. So for children, yes, I think that this is, it's a very difficult thing. For some cultures, it's so ingrained that it would be a mass conflict. But even within those cultures, you can see that there are now parents who are choosing to not do those things, even if it goes against their culture. Mm-hmm. And we even see that with female circumcisions, even in places in Africa, where now people are taking a stand, even though culturally it's still the thing to do, they're still taking a stand going, no, not my daughter.
Yep. There's a lot.
So I think that.
Yeah. I read that the incidence is down in countries like, I think. Anyway. Yeah. I've definitely been reading up on this.
Yeah. And so this is education. This is the ability to have conversation. Let's actually have conversation. And if we've never even had in the human collective mind the idea that a person's body is their own and that is a sovereign space, then how can we even collectively talk about the lack of respect for that space? Because it's not there. So by introducing this idea and allowing conversation to happen, that's how change occurs. And it may occur more slowly than we'd like it, but it is occurring.
And so it makes you wonder, you know, when it comes down to this idea that, our sexuality is not a commodity to be bought and sold. And yet we seem to exist in a world and in a culture where our sexuality is literally being bought and sold constantly right in front of us, right?
Absolutely.
And everyone wants like a sugar daddy or sugar mommy or whatever. So I guess this is the conundrum here, which is your sovereignty means nobody owns your sexuality or can sell your sexuality. But if you want to sell your sexuality, do you have that choice as a sovereign being?
Obviously you do.
Yeah.
Obviously you do. If you're going to work in the sex trade.
Yeah.
If it's a conscious choice, it's not based on coercion, because I have some friends who also have entered that trade as a dancer or whatever they're doing, and or surrogate sex workers and et cetera, et cetera. They're entering this consciously.
Yes.
Without coercion. That's a sovereign act.
Okay.
Where we need to question it, however, is how much are social mandates shaping our choices? Mm-hmm. That's why I want to have this conversation. That's why this is so edgy, because we don't even understand to the degree that how conditioned we are and how numb we are to many things. And that is why the Me Too movement is amazing, and on one hand, because it's shaking things up. It may be upsetting people. It may be triggering a lot of people, but it's good because we actually need to unnumb. We need to feel, and then we need to question, is this true for me? Mm-hmm. And if it were true for me, then what are the choices that I would make? Because a lot of people who are making those choices are not making them from a powerful place. Mm-hmm. They're making them because they think they don't have another choice.
Yeah, no yes. other options. And that's kind of what we want to avoid with all of this. I completely agree. Which brings me to my another comment I wanted to make as we're talking about kind of like the social global situation, you know, women's right to abortion and birth control. And the battle that's gone on in the U.S. during the last year, what are your thoughts? I guess maybe not what are your thoughts, but if we have a government that doesn't want to allow us access to these types of things on work insurance or through Planned Parenthood, what is that telling us about sexual sovereignty?
It's telling us that at that level of government, at that level of organization, it's completely unrecognized, which it would be because it's never been established. Your body is not your right. It's never been established. If you go to the United Nations, read the Charter of Rights, it's not established that you have the right to make those choices about yourself. So, and who it's made terrifying. Those rights?
Yeah.
Who made those rights? People White men. Who were never afraid for their own bodies, yeah. right? People
yeah, totally.
Who aren't put in a position. So let's ask the question more broadly. What would happen if suddenly there was a governing body that issued mandatory vasectomies for all males until the moment that they chose to conceive with consciousness? It would be an outrage. But this is basically what we're doing to women in the opposite direction. So it is a very important right to bring into consciousness, to bring into dialogue. And where I have been challenged by this is through the more political people that I've spoken with, is there's no point in talking to the lay person about sexual sovereignty if there are no structures and laws in place to enforce it. And this is where I differ. Yes. Wow. I believe that if we wait for institution and government to make those things true for us, never it will happen. Never actually happen. So right now, unfortunately, it's really up to each individual to have this conversation. Does it make sense to you? Is this something you're willing to stand for? Take a stand for it in your life, whether or not the people around you support it at this point. And mm-hmm. as we each start to live this way, it will create change. And then it's going to be much easier to leverage this at the levels of law and institution.
Who knew that just claiming that your body is your right could be like an act of subversion or resistance?
Or rebellion, yes.
Rebellion. I mean, what a trip. I think at least people are able to recognize like how twisted that is. And I definitely can. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dr. Desilet is going to wrap up the show about how to reclaim your sexual sovereignty. And we're going to talk about some of her projects. And we're also going to touch on the gender gap between men and women and where we all stand with each other. So stick with us and we'll be right back to wrap up the show.
Tune into the wisdom of your soul for guidance on living a joyful life. On Soul Wisdom Radio, Wendy will provide inspiration to raise your vibration and connect with your higher self and guides. Learn how to balance your ego and to progress spiritually on Soul Wisdom Radio with Wendy Rose Williams. Visit WendyRoseWilliams.com or Transformation Talk Radio to learn more about a healing session with Wendy and her events and publications.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Take us with you on that morning commute. Download your favorite podcast from the Transformation Radio Network. Just visit transformationradio.fm.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in each month to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Saida Desilet, wrapping up our show on sexual sovereignty. What? So we've been talking about all kinds of stuff today, and Dr. Desilet has such an amount of wisdom and presence, and just creating this dialogue about sexual sovereignty. And Dr. Desilet, I'd love to hear about just some of the other projects you're working on right now, your desire book and the Daring Project. What is that all about?
Thank you. Well, the desire book is going to be coming out this year. It's very exciting. It's a little pocketbook. It's meant that you can sneak it into your girlfriend's purse when she's not looking and just really get this idea out that desire is our innate compass, something that we can trust. And so the book explores what is desire as an evolutionary force in the world. Where did it go wrong in terms of where did it get hijacked, for example, and what we can do about it right now to start truly daring and living life on our own terms. And the Daring Project makes this real and live. So the Daring Project right now, unfortunately, it's only for women, but I created it for women because I felt that women needed a really safe place to meet so that we could dare together to live our lives more fully, to go for what we desired in life, and to encourage each other. So it's an incredible community of women from all over the world jumping into this conversation in a practical way. What does this look like in our micro moments? Because it's nice as an idea, but then how do we make it real in our lives? And that's what that project is about.
And that's amazing, because that there is a lot of the time, and we know as psychologists, just because you know something doesn't mean you can actually enact it into practice. It's exactly. Often a very wide gap. That brings me to something else I wanted to ask you about, which is kind of how to narrow the gap with people in our lives. So, for example, as I'm a bisexual female, if I had a non-binary gender or I was transgender, I would have to really learn to communicate with people about my sexual sovereignty. It would be something that I would have to practice, because otherwise there's going to be a lot of questions and a lot of confusion. There's just, I'm a bisexual woman, but you know, I'm pretty empowered about my sexuality. So it's not something I might have to like discuss outwardly with everyone. And most of the people in my life, like my parents have listened to my shows about being polyamorous and, you know, so they people in my life generally kind of know who I am. Right. But what if that wasn't the case? And I what if I either was maybe thinking about becoming transgender or having non-binary gender or coming out as gay or just being a female or a man and wanting to talk to people about this? Do you have any tips for how to narrow the gap with people who might not realize that this is an important thing?
Absolutely. The first thing is sexual sovereignty is for you to claim first for yourself, not for everyone else. This is purely an incredible selfish act in a good sense of the word to self-claim it. It is your right. It is not my right to know anything about how you choose to be as a sexual being at all. It's not my business. If you choose to share that because you feel safe and you feel like it would be an interesting conversation and et cetera, perfect. Let's have that conversation. I would never have this conversation if I did not feel that there was respect, a mutual respect happening, and a spaciousness to have the conversation. Here's why. Nobody needs to know what your preferences are in order for those preferences to be viable and for them to exist and for you to live by them. Those Amen. Are for you alone. So sexual sovereignty is not about putting a neon sign out and saying, here's what I am or here's how I identify myself. It is about taking a stand for what you define for yourself is true and what works in your life as a sexual being. So if touching, say, like a hug is not appropriate for you, the people in your life would need to know that.
Yeah.
If you are in an open relationship, people in your life that would be affected by that knowledge, for example, you're in a community of completely closed couples, mm-hmm. and they're not understanding why a conversation is going a certain way, you could choose in that moment to say, here's how I view relationships. Mm-hmm. And we could have a dialogue in that place. What's really important is that no one's way is better than another person's. That's why yes. sexual sovereignty is so important, because first of all, it asks us to have profound respect for who we are as a sexual being. Profound respect. And then when you feel that for yourself, it's inevitable to extend that to another. That's how that conversation is going to open up and be actually interesting and maybe even funny and goofy in certain moments.
mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, and I think that's an amazing way of looking at it. But what do you do? Because we've all just had like the holidays, you know, what if you do if you're sitting around the table with your family and it gets brought up or somebody is not supportive who's in your life? Is it okay to walk away from them or take a break from that relationship until, you know, things might change? What would you do? Because this happens a lot for people.
Mm. It's always personal choice. I'm going to speak yeah. for my person. So this may not be yes. true for some of the listeners, but for me, I have this one life to live. If you remember earlier, I almost died. Yes. So this is gravy for me. Am I really going to let other people dictate how I live my life? That is not true for me. That is why I take a stand for sovereignty. It is why I walk away sometimes from certain relationships. It's why actually I am daring and I take a risk to raise my voice and say, no, that's not okay. I don't want you saying those things to that person in that way that to me is very disrespectful of that person. And I'm not going to sit here and listen to that. I'm willing to have those edges because my gravity, my core is anchored very deeply in my sovereignty, in myself, and that this is my life to live. That yes. may not be true for everyone. So part of the Daring Project is literally that question. What would your life look like if you were the sole person determining the terms of that life?
Hmm.
And that's an important question, I believe, for each of us to have a look at.
Oh, especially because we can feel so disenfranchised and so powerless. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah.
And so what I want to say and make sure this is important is I don't walk around being belligerent. I don't walk around with anger. I don't even walk around challenging people. I'm not interested. I'm
You're
interested
not trying to
in
fight everywhere
ground.
You go. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm interested in connection. So the number one thing that I could give you as a tip is be curious. Keep curiosity at the front of all your conversations about yourself, about other. And then immerse that in respect, and you'll find the conversations get really interesting.
I love that. I mean, and who doesn't want to be curious? Because let's face it, life is so unpredictable. It's so freaking unexpected. You never know who's going to end up in your space. And when you step into that truth about yourself, about who you really are, and you take a stand for yourself, it's amazing how you become a light in the darkness for other people who will flock to you because they see you taking a stand and they want to do the same. So there's a chain reaction of energy, I think, that happens when we really stand up for ourselves in this way, particularly about our sexuality.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's all the time we have for today, Dr. Saida Desilet. Thank you so much for coming
on the
show.
It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, great information. I feel I have a pep in my step and I'm empowered. I'm ready to take on the world in a respectful, curious, nice way. I just want to thank everybody also who's tuning into the show. You can always email me questions at drkellyneff@gmail.com or just through the website, thelucidplanet.com. And also you can connect with Dr. Desilet on her website, dareyourdesire.com. Please continue to tune into the show. You can download all the shows for free on Lucid Planet Radio. And stay tuned for this new Slut Logic show and book out later this year. Peace and love. Have a great day and happy 2018. I hope it is a very sovereign year for all of you. Take care now. Bye.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.